Okay, so we're going to continue our study of Sefer Shoftim, and today we're going to dedicate the shir in memory L'Zecher Nishmas Rebbetzin Henny Machlis, Henna Rasha Basar of Moshe Chaim, whose yahrzeit is coming up this week on Gimel Cheshvan, and so this is definitely the closest shir that we will have, and I'm sure that it will be an aliyah for her neshama, as well as, I'm sure, many, many acts of Torah and kindness from her dynasty of a family will also be a merit for her neshama. We haven't learned in a while, and so we're picking up with in the very beginning of Perek Yud Ches, and we'll just kind of, I think it's worth it to just quickly run through the first few psukim in Perek Yud Ches, particularly starting from Pasuk. I guess we may as well start from the beginning. What had happened in Perek Yud Zayin was the background information about the establishment of a type of base avodah zarah in the house of Micha with an idol and with a pseudo kohen or a levi who was actually serving as like the priest of that. And we see that it got established. And with Perek Yud Ches, we see how the impression that it made upon others was so significant, even though at this time, right, we're dealing in the Yemei HaShoftim, and we spoke about how we're not, the Mefarshim debate whether this was towards the beginning of the time period of the Shoftim, is it towards the end of the time period of the Shoftim, regardless of when it's taking place. If it is the time of the Shoftim, the Mishkan is already set up in Shiloh. There is a functioning Beis Hashem with an actual Kohen, with an actual way to reach out to Hashem, and yet there seems to be a pull to something else. So back to Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Aleph, and we'll read these Pesukim a little quicker until the one that we got up to. Bayamim Ahim Ein Melech B'Yisrael, in those days there was no king. Bayamim Ahim Shevet Hadani Mevakish Lo Nachla L'Sheves. That the Shevet of Dan was looking for a place to live. They hadn't been given enough space for themselves. For it had not fallen to them until today, and meaning until the story is taking place, to have inheritance. They had place to live, it just wasn't big enough. And so they have a little bit of a housing crisis. Pasuk Beis, Vayishalchu b'nei Dan mimishpachtam chamisha anashim mikotzosam, anashim b'nei chayil, they choose five men of valor, five soldiers to send out, mitzara mi'eshtoel, from tzara neshtoel, liragel, to spy out es ha'aretz, ulechokra, and to discern it, vayomra aleim l'chuch kru es ha'aretz, go and investigate the land, vayabo ha'arefraim ad beis micha, vayelinu sham. They're going to scout out the land to see if they could find place to live. The place that they came to, almost it would seem by chance, was they passed by Har Ephraim. They came to the house of Micha and they stayed overnight there. Pasuk Gimel. Hema in Beis Micha, it was there when they were in the house of Micha. Vehema hikiru as kol hanar halevi. They recognized the voice of the lad, the Levi, the one who was serving in the house, to recognize it as it maybe being significant. Vayusuru sham, they turned themselves there. Vayom rumi haviyacha halom, uma ata oseh bazeh, uma lachafo. And they said to the priest, to the Levi, what are you doing here? Who brought you here? What do you have going on here? They recognized that there's something. Vayomar aleim kazov chazeh asili micha. He started telling him what Micha had done. Vayiskareni ve'elo lekohen, and he hired me to be a kohen, to be a priest, even though he was a Levi, he's acting as a kohen. Vayomar lo, so they said to him, they decided to take advantage. Sha'alna ve'lohim. Ask of God, and there's a debate among the Mefarshim, were they asking in the name of Hashem, were they asking in the name of other gods? V'neida hatzlichu darkenu, let us know if our journey will be successful, asher anachnu hochem aleha, that we are planning on traveling on, that we're on, meaning this mission to find a place to expand their area where they could live. Vayomer lohem, this was the last pasuk we read last time, vayomer lohem hakohen, the priest, meaning the fake priest, the Levi, answered back, L'chul l'shalom, nochach Hashem, darkachem asher telchu ba, Hashem will be present, Hashem, right, go in peace, Hashem will be present in your way that you are going on. He uses the shem Hashem, he uses the name of Hashem, and he's at least putting forward that God, the true God, is giving. So whether their intentions were for Avodah Zarah or not, his intentions You might say he has the correct intentions, that he's using the shame, he's using the name of Hashem, but he actually has no, he's making this up. He's for hire, and usually what you do when you're for hire is you tell people what they want to hear. And obviously there's a little bit of a risk, because if you give good advice, if you say that good things are going to happen and they're not going to happen, well then that's a sign that you're a false priest. You're a false. You know, he didn't present himself as a navi, but it hints to nevuah. We know that the Torah tells us in Sefer Devarim about if someone arises, and what's the difference between a true Navi and a false Navi. So one of the tests is if a Navi ever says that something good is going to happen and it doesn't happen, that's a sign you know that they are a false Navi, because good things are not promised and not kept. As opposed to if a Navi promises something bad and then it doesn't happen. So it's not, that in and of itself is not the litmus test whether they're a Navi Sheker, because there's always the possibility for tshuva, and that, you know, that circles back. Some of the Mefarshim explain part of Yonah's motivation in not going to Nineveh was he professed that he was going to send a certain message of doom, what would happen to Nineveh, and if that doom wouldn't happen, it could be some would think of him as a Navi Sheker, because he said something, right, without focusing on the power of tshuva. Tshuva can be that you can give a prophecy that's Sheker, that's negative, and it doesn't happen, right? The prophecy was about the old individual, the old community. Once they go through the tshuva process, they're like a bria chadasha, they're like a new creation. And so there's the decree that came was for the old, not for the new. So how does he? It's a little bit of a risk that he puts forward that in the name of Hashem, and this time it actually works out, as we'll see at the end of the perek. He was right. Now, why he, this fake, Levi priest, why he's given the benefit of the of success is a question that you could ask. Meaning, we'd be rooting for him to fail. We'd be rooting for him to give advice, and then, you know, they follow that advice. It's the wrong advice. They come back, and Micha throws him on the street because he hasn't done good advice. They smash the idol. They maybe even they do something wrong to this. You know, we wanted him to be shut out of business. Why is it that Hashem allowed it to be a success? Most probably, you have to give the answer that what's taking place in this perek and the depiction of this, so much of a focus on an avodah zara and a base avodah zara and a false type of priest, this is what the people wanted, and if Hashem and Hashem allows people to make free choice, and Hashem is almost giving in to them and letting it go, this is the path that they're taking, and there will be eventual repercussions for taking such a path. For taking such a path, we're going, you know, it will. There's a downward spiral that the nation will be put on. You know, if you want to say the story of Pesel Micha happens towards the beginning of the time period of the Shoftim, well, then a little bit of colors our outlook on why there were so many instances in Sefer Shoftim where the people were worshiping Avodah Zarah. It all came from an atmosphere in this story where, again, we're told certain names, we're told certain places, but it would almost appear like this story could have happened anywhere in the land of Israel at that time, and it speaks to the spiritual nature of the people. And again, with this recurring pasuk of, and there was no king, there was no unifying force. So he gives his spiel, he says, you're going to have peace. Pasuk Zion, again, this is our first kind of new pasuk. Vayelchu chameshas anashim. The five men go. Vayavo Layisha. They came to a town called Layish, which all the Mefarshim, Radak and Metzudat Tzion, seems to say that there is a city that's documented in Sefer Yoshua called Leshem. It's the same town. It's the same town. It had two names. Vayiru Esa'am. They saw the people, Asher Bekirba, that were in its midst, meaning in this city, because again, they're spying. They see them, Yoshev Es Lavetach. They see them living very securely. Kimishpat Sidonim. So Sidon is a city much more to the north, a non-Jewish city, the city of Sidon. It's I think it's even on the coast of what we would call today Lebanon. So Kimishpat Sidonim, these individuals in the city of Laish, they were similar to the people of Sidon in terms of how they behaved, in terms of their culture. Shoket, they were very they lived very tranquilly, very peacefully, uboteach, and very securely. The Ein Machlim Davar Ba'aretz, there was nothing that ever caused them embarrassment. Yoresh Etzer, there were two things that weren't, right? The Ein Machlim Davar Ba'aretz Yoresh Etzer. It's a long phrase, and it's saying two things were lacking, which were seen to be good observations or positive observations if you're a group of spies. Because if you're a group of spies, you're looking what town should we attack. So Ein Machlim Davar, they had no cause to be embarrassed, and they also had no proper yoresh, no proper inheritors. They didn't have a specific form of leadership that would take over if the current leadership would cease to exist. Urechokim hema mitzidonim. They were very far from the actual city of Sidon and the other Sidonite citizens. V'davar ein lahem im adam. They seem to have nothing. Ein davar is also understood by the Mefarshim as like any type of peace treaty with any other people. It was a community of loners, of someone who is alone. That's great to attack. Number one is no one's going to come to help them. Number two is that they are living very securely, and right, it mentions that twice. It says Yosheves Lavetach, and then it says Shoketu Votech. So three languages of tranquil or secure, it means they're not going to see it coming. And if you're someone who constantly get attacked, so then you probably have a guard, you have walls, you fortify yourself to, right, when they give you tours of the old city of Yerushalayim, they talk about how many times throughout history the city was taken and was unfortunately captured by so many. It's a whole history to discuss how many times those walls were broken and rebuilt. Because so here's a city they're at peace, and they don't have any qualms with anyone. They have no reason to feel embarrassed from any neighbors, but they also don't have peace treaty. They're totally alone. And therefore, it's the perfect target. Pasaches, vayavo elachechem. So now the five individuals, they go back to their brothers. Sarah v'Eshtol, they go back to their hometowns. Vayomer lahem achechem ma'atem. And so when they come back, the brothers said to them, like, nu, what's your report? Pasaches, vayomer, and they said, kuma v'na'ala alehem. Get up. Let us go against them, meaning this specific town that we found. Ki ra'inu es ha'aretz. We saw the land. V'hine tov ha'me'od. It's very good. It's very good, not only in the natural resources, which we'll see, but tov ha'aretz, it's very good. This is a good opportunity for us. V'atem machashim, and you who they're talking to, they said you seem to be like kind of quiet. Al te'atzlu. Don't be lazy. Lalechas to go, lavo lareshes es haaretz, to go and conquer the land, which in and of itself, maybe you would look at this story and say, it's not purely bad. Meaning, if this was a place in Eretz Yisrael that wasn't fully conquered yet, and there were non Bnei Yisrael living there. So it is the right thing to conquer it. It is the right thing. We kind of scratched, as we began Sefer Shoftim, we scratched our heads why it was that Yehoshua didn't complete the job 100%. And it was those negative influences in the land that caused such, that played a role in the downward spiritual impact upon the people. So in a vacuum, you would say the fact that they're finding a town and taking it over. Now, There might be the way that they do it, right? Did they follow the same protocol, right? Yehoshua was under instructions from Hashem that you were supposed to give each town was supposed to be given the option to leave Eretz Canaan and only fight for it if they put up a fight. But they, you know, so here we don't know if they're ruling with that. It's the fact that it came under the advice of this false priest, and we're going to see they seem to incorporate. They put so much a belief in this Pesel Micha and this Levite priest. That's where we focus the negative attention. It's Pasuk Yud. They're continuing to give their instructions. Kivo Achem, when you arrive there, Tavo El Am Botech, you're going to be coming upon a secure people. V'ha'aretz rachvas yadayim. The land there, the land that's under their control, you would translate that phrase rachvas yadayim like the width of the hands, meaning it's very large. Ki nasna elokim biyadchem. And now they quote the Levite that Hashem is giving them over into your hands. Notice how they use the word elokim again, which may be a reference to the fact that they don't have a full amount of trust in Hashem. They're going back to the word Elohim, even though he used the Yud Kei Vav Kei. They asked in the name Elohim, and now they kind of quote it in the name Elohim. Makom asher ein sham machzor. It's a place where there's nothing right from the word chasar. There's nothing lacking. Kol davar asher ba'aretz, anything that's in the land. Meaning this was also a very choice piece of real estate. Anything that's in the land, whether that's a reference to the Shivas Haminim, the natural resources of Eretz Yisrael, the good things of Eretz Yisrael, which we do praise it, they said, there's nothing lacking. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayisu Misham Mishpachas Hadani. So they travel there from the family of Dan, Mitzara Mishteo, from these two places, Sheish Meosh Ish. They chose a force of 600 men, Chagur Klei Milchama, who are girded with weapons of war. And you may say that, you know, we have seen, even in Sefer Shoftim, we've seen armed forces. 600 doesn't sound like a tremendous amount, but they're attacking a place that seems to not have any defenses. Meaning they've done the proper spying, right? If the Meraglim who were sent in the desert by Moshe, if they had come back with a positive report about how we can attack it and it's good, and you know that the Jewish history would have been totally different. So for their mission, they did what was proper. They spied it. They realized they only need a force. You have to imagine they have the appropriate force, 600 men girded for war. Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayalu vayachanu b'Kiryas Ya'arim b'Yehuda. They're coming up and they encamped in Kiryas Ya'arim in Yehuda. Kiryas Ya'arim becomes famous later on in Tanakh. Kiryas Ya'arim becomes the place where when the Aron was taken by the Plishtim in the times of Shmuel, when it was returned. So first they thought the Aron could be in a place called Beit Shemesh, which many of us are familiar with, and the Aron was not successful staying in Beit Shemesh. And then they chose a place called Kiryas Ya'arim, which some of us know on the side of Highway 1, on your way to Yerushalayim, a place called Telstone. Telstone is very close to ancient Kiryas Ya'arim. But here it's being mentioned as a, you know, I guess just some type of geographical demarcation. Al-Kain Karol Makomahu Machane Dan. There was Ad Hayom Hazeh. There was a place. This you'll have to check with your, you know, when you go to Israel, your local Israeli archaeologist. Is there a place actually called Machane Dan? But in the times of the Shoftim, they, because of this traveling of these 600 soldiers from Dan who passed through Kiryas Ya'arim, there was actually a location that got known as Machane Dan, the camp of Dan, the military camp of Dan, Ad Hayom Hazeh, until today. Again, Ad Hayom Hazeh, most likely that's being written by Shmuel when he writes Sefer Shoftim, right? And if we go with the approach that this This story actually happened in the beginning of the time period of Shoftim. He's writing it hundreds of years later, saying, Ad Hayom Hazeh, in the time of Shmuel, there was a place called Machad Nedan. Hine acharei Kiryas Ya'arim, it was like a little bit after Kiryas Ya'arim. They're traveling towards Laish. They're traveling towards the town that they want to capture. But they make a rest stop.
Sorry, is this yeah. In the north? Is that just south of Lebanon? Because according to the map, we have a small area of Dan on the Mediterranean and a very small area just south of Lebanon.
The area that's on, where is it on the Mediterranean? Yeah, so most likely we're dealing with the southern part near the Mediterranean. Because that's going that, because then you understand why they're traveling anywhere near Yehuda and Benjamin. Depending on the map you use, like in the back of the art scroll, there's a it's not the best map in the world, but the bottom area of Dan borders both on Benjamin and Yehuda, so you would kind of and Ephraim. So you'd kind of understand, right? They're going on a little bit. Perhaps you may say the exact route doesn't make perfect sense. They might not have put it into ways, to know, because they're passing by Kiryas Ya'arim, and which is most likely it's in the land of Yehuda, and then they're coming. We're about to see they're passing by Har Ephraim. So they're but it's close enough. It's close enough. Now, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayavru Misham Har Ephraim, Vayavoh Ad Beis Micha. The same five spies who are now, you would almost say they're the leaders or the directors, whether they were the military leaders or just the geographical directors, they're giving the directions. They bring the group past Har Ephraim and they come to the Beis Micha. They come back to Micha's house. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Vayanu Chamesha Sanoshim Ha'ochim L'Ragel Es Ha'aretz. And the five men, the five ones who went to spy the land, Laish, the ones who went to Laish, vayomer lachem, and they said to their brothers, the other 600, hayedatem, do you know, kiyesh babatim ha'ela, in these houses, meaning right here, in the compound of Micha, ephod, there's an ephod. Ephod is similar to what the Kohen Gadol had. It's a religious garment, utzrafim. Trufim is a type of Avodah Zarah. Trufim were what Lavan had. And trufim are the type of idols that are defined a little bit more by human shape, right? The trufim were the ones with a type, it was a type of almost maybe like a mannequin, you would say, because it's used by, if I'm not mistaken, it's used by when Michal is trying to hide the fact that David is going to escape her father's palace, so she wants the ruse to last a little bit, so she puts like a mannequin in the bed so that the guards will come in, it'll buy a few more minutes for David. And the word for the mannequin is trufim. Not that we're suspecting her of Avodah Zarah, but it was some type of mannequin type. So they're boasting. Do you not know that there's ephod, utrufim, upesel? And there is a pestle, there is an idol, umasecha, and molten image. Vata de'u matasu. And now, de'u matasu. It's extremely cryptic. You know what to do. It almost sounds like you're like, you know, you're watching some film where they give like you know what to do. Now, when we see what they do in the next pasuk, they're basically going to take all these religious objects, and they're going to take the priest and walk and run away with it. They had so much faith in, and after seeing the success, meaning when they found what they think is the perfect town for them to capture, they've been reinvigorated with emuna in this unfortunate Pesel Micha and the Levite priest, and so they want to take it. But they just say this very cryptically, "Va'ata de'u matasu," you know what to do. It would appear, you have to say this, and again, we don't. We always keep pointing out that we don't have the psukim don't describe everything. It must mean that they made a plan where they said, "Listen, by the way, on our way to Laish, you know, we have this great religious, again, because it's Avodah Zarah, these great religious objects and a priest that we can steal for ourselves, and it'll be great for us to have it for us, for ourselves. Like, why have to travel when you could just, you know, steal it, and now it'll become your personal god. We'll make a new base micha, we'll make a, you know, pesel micha, a new house for the Avodah Zarah. We'll take the priest with us. So they gave the commands, you know what to do. Why it has to be that cryptic, I don't have an answer to it. And
maybe gave the command to the 600.
Yeah, but why it has to be like, you know what to do, as opposed to go get them? Like, why not say like, go take the stuff, right? Do you, and even it, the way it's presented, it's right, Hayadatem, do you not know what's here? They're trying to cover themselves. Okay. Pasuk Tezvav. Vayasuru Shama. So they turned themselves there. Vayavol Beis Hanar Halevi Beis Micha. They came to the house of the Nar, the Levite, into the house of Micha. Vayishalu lo l'shalom. And they greeted him. They greeted him in peace. It could very well be that the five, that this is reference back to the five, that the, because they were the, They're the subject of Pasuk Yodalad. The five spies. The five spies came and greeted him in peace. Because then we hear Pasuk Tes Zayin, V'sheish meos ish chagurim klei melchamtam. You have the 600 men who are girded with their weaponry. Nitzavim pesach hashar. They're standing at the entranceway of the gate. Asher mibnei Dan, meaning the people who are from the tribe of Dan. So, you know, if you want to seem intimidating, it's a great way to seem intimidating to, you know, you show up at the actual door, just a group of five, and you have 600 fiercely looking, you know, soldiers with weapons in the background. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayalu chamesh esanashim. The five men, hahochem laragla saratu, had went to spy, bo shama, they came there. Lochu es hapesel, they took the pesel. The Esa Ephod, and they took the Ephod, they took the religious apron, Vesa Trafim, and the Trafim, Vesa Masecha, and the molten image. Why the order is changed? I'm not sure. Right? When they were boasting about it to their fellow soldiers, they said Ephod Trafim Pesel Masecha. When it comes to what they took Pesel Ephod Trafim Masecha. I don't know if there's any significance there. I mean, I guess you could almost say like the obvious point of, you know, maybe that was just that was the order that they found it. You know, like, I mean, you don't have to, whatever. You can see significance in it. It could just be information. Hakoi Nitza Pesach Hashar, and the priest was standing at the entranceway. Vishesh Meyosh Is Hachagor Klei Melchama, as were the 600 men who are all. With their weapons. The Eila Bo Beis Micha, and the men, they entered the household of Micha. They took all the items. So the priest finally said to them, Ma temosim, what are you doing? Pasuk Yates. Vayomru, they said, Lo, Vayomru Lo. They said back to the priest, Hacharish, be quiet. Sim Yadcha Al Picha, put your hand over your mouth, v'lech imanu, and go with us. V'yelanu le'av u'lechohen. You'll be for us like a father and like a kohen. Hatov heyos kohen lebeis ishachad. Is it good for you to be a priest over one man's house? O heyos kohen l'shevet u'mishpach v'yisrael. Or is it better for you to be a Kohen of an entire tribe of a family in Israel? Meaning, they were offering him something that's a bigger platform. We'll offer you to be, you'll become our Kohen. And they're flattering him. They're saying, not only will you be a Kohen, they say you'll be for us an Av, a father, some type of moral guide, some type of figure that we'll honor, not just as our priest, but also as a fatherly figure. And if anything, you would say that in when he was taken in, when he was taken into the house, at the very end of Perek Yud Zayin, it said, "Vayihi hanar lo keachad mi banav," that this Levite became like one of the members of Micha's household, which is, you know, in a weird way, it's heartwarming that Micha brought him in and treated him as own and all of that. But if you translate the phrase very literally, "Vayihi hanar lo keachad mi banav," as one of his children, with Micha to some degree still looking at him as the younger one, as the less, as opposed to this group from Dan, they're saying, "You'll be for us an Av." They're almost, not only are they giving him, they sound like they're trying to give him a promotion in every way, right? Sometimes you have a promotion where you could just, right, it's a promotion to just have more responsibility or a higher position, even let's say, you know, just to work with the way we work, right? You could have a better title and a more prominence, but make the same amount of money. Or you can get a promotion where you get more money, but you have the same level. Or you can get both, right? And that seems like the promotion that they're offering him. Now, at the same time, it's not really such an offer here, because it doesn't really sound like this. Based on the 600 men, it doesn't sound like there's another, and they're taking things. It doesn't sound like there's an option to say no. But they're at least presenting it in, not only will it be, you're going from just Micha, you're on the side of the road in one house, to becoming an entire Shevet from Israel, that you'll be ours. And so there's influence, and also the prominence of being an Av, not just a Kohen. And while perhaps you would say, right, at the end of Pasuk Girches, when the Levi says, "Ma'atem osim," again, you can read that, you know, which whatever tone you want to read it, but you definitely could read that in a type of accusatory tone of like, "What are you doing?" The Levite does the math, and he realizes, what's the difference if I'm playing priest for one person or playing priest for an entire tribe? It'll probably be better for me to play priest for an entire tribe. Pasachaf, Vayitav Lev HaKohen. The heart was very good. I mean, his heart was good. They spoke to his heart. He took the objects, and we went along with the people. He went along with them on their journey, going, right? They still haven't gone to their battle yet. They just now picked up their religious figure. Now they've made him their own. So the whole group turned and they went. Vayasimu es hataf es hamikna es hakfuda lifnehem. It's a little bit of a strange pasuk, in the sense that if we translate it literally, they placed the children, the livestock, and the possessions before them. Where did this come from? Meaning, this is not when they came, they were 600 soldiers. It almost would appear that this is part of what they maybe captured from Micha's whole compound, is that they took some of other, you know, you maybe call it spoils of war, but it could be they amassed something and they put it in front of them. Mefarshim understand that they understood that eventually Micha's going to come after them, and they wanted a little bit of a buffer between them and Micha, just not necessarily that they're scared of Micha, but just strategically. Pasuk of Beis, Hema herchiku mi beis Micha. They were some level of richuk, some level of distance from the household of Micha. Va'anashem asher babatim asher im beis Micha. And the people who were near the houses of Micha, nizaku, were they gathered. Vayadbiku ad b'nei Dan, and they reached the Bnei Dan. Vayikru al Bnei Dan. And they called out to Bnei Dan. Pasuk of Gimel. Vayasebu pneihem. And the Bnei Dan turned around. Vayomru l'micha. And apparently, even though we didn't see him, Micha is there. And so the Bnei Dan, and it makes, we understand, Micha, he's the most invested in trying to get back everything that's his. So it makes sense that he was there. Why the Pasuk doesn't make it more prominent before it's actually like in real time the confrontation, I don't know. By Yomer L'Micha, they say to Micha, Malcha ki nezakta. Almost in a very sarcastic way, like, what are you doing here? Why have you gathered here? Why would you be after us? In a very, it's like a very sarcastic. He says back to them, Pasuk Chaf Dalet, Vayomer, Micha says, Es Elohai Asher Asisi Lekachta. You took the God that I made, Ves HaKohen, and the priest, Vatelchu, and you left. Umaliod, what is there left? What is more? Umazet Tomre Elai Malach. What is this that you're telling me? What concerns you? Of course, I have a claim against you. Pasuk Chaf Hey, Vayomer Elav Bnei Dan. Bnei Dan say back to him, Al Tashma Kolcha Imanu. Don't let your voice be heard among us. Pen Yifku Bachem, lest we come and attack you. Anashim Mare Nefesh, Anashim, men who are Mare Nefesh, will bring about against you a type of death, v'asafta nafshecha, and gather your life, v'nefesh beischa, and the whole household, meaning they're threatening him, and there's no indication that Micha came with a group that could maybe even do battle. It says that there are, you know, it uses the word like Anashim Asher Babatim, the men who are in the houses. We don't know how many, we don't know what the group is that's on the side of Micha. We know that they're going up against 600 fierce soldiers, but it doesn't appear that as we walk away from the Psukim that Micha came with any respectable force. Pasuk Avav. Vayelchu b'nei Dan l'darkam. So the b'nei Dan, they start going on their way. Vayar Micha ki chazakim heima mimenu. Micha saw that they were stronger than him. Vayifen vayashad v'eso. And he turned and went back to his house empty-handed. And they don't... He never gets it back. Now, we really, you know, I guess for a moment you want to feel bad for Micha. You shouldn't feel bad for Micha. He was not one of the good guys. Pasuk Chaim, Chav Zayin, Vehema Lachu Eis Asher Asa Micha. They took what Micha had made, Ves HaKohen Asher Hayelo, the priest that he had. Vayavo Al Layish, they came to Layish, Al Am Shoket Uvotech, to this peaceful, tranquil people. Vayako Oso Leficharev, they struck them with the sword. Vesair Sarfu Vaish, they were able to burn the city. It must mean that they're right. Somehow their burning of the city was part of their plan to restart the city. And somehow not to damage, right? They had already put forward that the land is very good. It doesn't sound like the kind of place that you just want to destroy. You're moving in next. So it must mean that they destroyed things that they wanted to rebuild, but they wiped out the people. What the irony a little bit from Micha's perspective is that He created the pestle. He created the avodah zarah for some you know, selfish need, and for some, you know, to want to make a house of avodah zarah in his location. But what happened was is that he played a role in influencing others in avodah zarah. And sometimes, you know, specifically in this time period of the Shoftim, when the Jews are in Eretz Yisrael, and they're supposed to be, and we're going to see some, particularly in the next horrific story, in the next two prakim, there's supposed to be an element of arvus, of responsibility of one to the other, particularly in the land of Israel. That was the kind of the bris that they enacted as they were leaving Arvos Moab and going into Eretz Yisrael, was a type of Kol Yisrael or Rimez Zavzad that were responsible for one another. But Micha is held almost, he's held responsible for introducing this type of avodah zarah, and it you know, forever and ever is known as Pesel Micha. as we'll even see at the end of the Perek, even though they now, the Shevet Avdan has kind of adopted it as their own, it's still called Pesel Micha. Micha's influence, the influence that you have, even when the object is out of your domain. What Micha ended up doing, in reality, had much more of a negative impact than the, let's say, you would maybe say, the smaller negative decision he made for himself. Pasuk Chaf Ches. Ve'ein Matzil, right, coming back to the city of Laish, which gets totally destroyed. Ve'ein Matzil, there's no one to save them. Ki rechoke imi Tzidon. It was very far from Tzidon. Tzidon was that because they were similar to Tzidon, there's some type of connection to Tzidon, they would have been maybe the natural helpers to come, but they were too far. V'davar ein lohem im madam, they had nothing, they had no type of peace treaty, no matters between other people. V'hi be'emek, and that this area was in an emek, in a valley, asher le'beis rechov, which is near a place called Beis Rechov. So they fully capture it. Vayivnu asair, they build it up. Vayishvu va, and they begin to live in it. Vayikru shem ha'ir, Dun. They called the name of the city Dun. B'shem Dun avihem, in the name of Dun, their forefather. Asher yulad liYisrael, that was born to Yisrael. V'ulam. Laish Shem Ha'ir LaRishona. Laish was the name of the city originally, but it got the name Dan. What is a question that I don't have the answer to? This would be a good question. We sometimes refer to the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael Midan va'ad Be'er Sheva, which is a little bit odd because Dan sounds like the tribe. Be'er Sheva, we know for sure, is not the name of a tribe. It's the name of a city. The city of Be'er Sheva, until the last 100 years, it was pretty much the most southern part of Eretz Yisrael. Israel developed, you know, that now we have Eilat, but Eilat is not such an old place. They didn't conquer Eilat when they came in with Yoshua. They didn't conquer Eilat. The southern border was around Be'er Sheva. During the times of Shlomo, there was some type of important trade that took place through, you know, I guess what was the port of Eilat. But when we say Dan Vad Be'er Sheva, it's a little bit strange because it's a shevet and a city. Most likely, when we say Dan Vad Be'er Sheva, we're not talking about the city of Dan. We're talking about the tribe of Dan. But in the times of Malchus Yisrael, when the northern kingdom began, so Yeruvim ben Nevat, the first king, he sets up two places of where Jews could worship. Originally God, eventually Avodah Zarah. One is in Beit El, and one is in Dan. It may be this city of Dan, because again, to say Beit El and Dan, it would make sense to say that it's two cities, not a city and a region. And if it is that that Dan is chosen as the place of Yeruvim ben Nevat, which very quickly, you know, falls down that slippery slope and becomes Avodah Zarah, you almost understand the roots of the city to a certain extent, because this is, you know, if you want to say this story is happening at the beginning of Shoftim, it's hundreds of years before Yeruvim ben Nevat. Even if you want to say that it's towards the end of the period of the Shoftim, it's at least 100 years before that. And it's almost like there's a certain level of foundation in this city, the city of called Dan, of Avodah Zarah. So, you know, just something to think about. Pasuk Lamed, Vayakimu lohem b'nei Dan es ha-pasel. They set for themselves the image, without the word Micha, but it'll circle back. The Yehonasan, Ben Gershom, Ben Menashe, Hu Uvanav, Hayu Kohanim L'Shevet Hadani, Ad Yom Glos Haaretz. And now we identify the name of the Levite, Yehonasan, Ben Gershom, Ben Menashe. Many of the Mepharshim point out that in an actual Tanakh, in an actual Sefer Shoftim that's written on a cloth. You know, there's certain shuls are very careful that they only read the Haftorah out of a cloth. It's not something that any, you know, bar mitzvah boy would look forward to, because always like the Haftorah is like, you know, you get the dots, you get the signs. The Haftorah is like the, you know, the Haftorah is the time that you can breathe. So, but in a cloth, so how many, it's probably one of the least, you'd say, it's, I don't want to say such a thing, but it's one of the least important cloths. We have two Haftorahs from Shoftim. We have Shiras Devorah, we have Parshas Naso, we have Shimshon's story. So in an actual Sefer of Shoftim, the Sofer has a tradition to write the letter Nun in the word Menashe. The Nun is supposed to be kind of raised, almost like a, what's that called, like superscript? Super, like, you know, like that. And the Art Scroll has it. And the tradition, right, do they have it in yours? Does the Nun look differently in your Navi? You gotta get a refund if it doesn't. Right? The Art Scroll did it. They raised the Nun because you're supposed to read it like it's not there. So if you take the Nun not there, it's Moshe, meaning this Levite, he had Yichus back to Moshe, which we made reference to. It's something that we want to try to hide. It's not considered to be, you know, proper that you know, to for the covet of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's kind of hidden that this Levite priest came from Moshe. Hu vanav, he basically started a dynasty. Hayu kohanim l'shevet hadani, they were the priests, the false priests to Shevet Dan, ad yom gelos haaretz, until the day of the land was exiled. This phrase is interpreted very differently by two groups of Rishonim, and one sounds better in terms of translating the pasuk, but just doesn't sit well. One sits well and doesn't translate. So you have to pick your, I'm not going to say poison, but you have to pick your approach. Golos, so there are two times that the land was exiled. Shevet Dan, though, was only exiled once. Shevet Dan is exiled about 133 years before the first Beis HaMikdash is destroyed by Sancheiriv. Shevet Dan is along with the other 10 tribes. Their king Sancheiriv, general Sancheiriv from Assyria, from Asher, comes and exiles, right, the 10 lost tribes. First he does the 2.5 tribes that are on Eivar Yarden, Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe. Then he comes back for the other tribes, and just Yehuda, Binyamin, and Kohanim and Levim are left. So that's what Rashi says. Rashi says, Ad Yom Golos Haaretz, Bimei Sancheiriv, Begalos Rishona. In the days of Sancheiriv, during the first exile. The only problem with that approach is that means from now, meaning from when the story is taking place, until Sancheiriv, there's this Pesel Micha with a fake Levite acting during the entire time of Shmuel, during the entire time of David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech. So that you're trying to tell me that the Mishkan is ceasing to exist and the Beis HaMikdash is being set up. And this kind of, sometimes we refer to it as like the 70 plus years of golden Jewish history of the 33 years of David when he's the unified king in Yerushalayim, and then the 40 years of Shlomo HaMelech. It could not get any better. That's the phrase. That's when everyone is sitting under their fig tree and it's peace and the borders are expanding and all the wars are successes. You're going to tell me that Shmuel and David allowed for a Beis Avodah Zarah to exist? That's what Rashi says. So you can't. But there is another school of thought that the Radak and others have, that it must mean until even though it uses the words Ad Yom Galos Haaretz, it has to be someone did it. Someone solved it. Shmuel, David, one of them, both of them together. David, Shlomo, someone got rid of it. It couldn't be that it lasted that long. The only problem is that why would it say Golos Haaretz? You could say something Ad Yemei David. You could have said something that way. So each each pshat is kind of missing something. One works better in the text, one sits better kind of with like the heart and the mind. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayasimu lohem es pesel micha. They placed for themselves the pesel of micha, asher asa, that was made. Kol yemei hayos beis Elokim b'shilo. All the days that the house of Hashem was in Shiloh. So here you have a little bit of maybe some level of indication that maybe it didn't last as long, because if you were going, right, one would imagine that we would put together the existence of the Pesel and the priest and his family that serve said Pesel. And that if the Pesel, if the Avodah Zarah is there, the priest is there. If the priest is there, they're dependent on one another. This pasuk says they placed the Pesel Micha. So again, having the name Pesel Micha there for eternity, for the long haul, even though not in the house of Micha. Kol Yimeheyos Beis HaElokim B'Shiloh, all of the days that the house of God was in Shiloh. But the house of God, meaning the Mishkan, was not in Shiloh forever. The Mishkan was in Shiloh for the entire period of the Yimei HaShoftim, but the Mishkan Shiloh is destroyed at the end of the time period of the Shoftim. That's when Eli HaKohen dies. He dies when he hears that the Aron is captured, and the Mefarshim all tell us, even though, right, one of my biggest questions that I never have an answer to is, Shiloh was so important, and yet we never have a pasuk that says it was destroyed. Meaning, Chazal tell us it was destroyed, the Mefarshim tell us it was destroyed, we have maybe hints to it being destroyed, but there's never a pasuk that says that the Plishtim destroyed Shiloh. It seems like a pretty significant historical event for Shiloh to be destroyed, but it was in that time period of the war with the Plishtim, when they took the Aron, that they destroyed Shiloh. So this pasuk makes it sound like Pesel Micha existed as long as the Mishkan was in Shiloh. But when the Mishkan was no longer in Shiloh, then it makes it sound like the Pesel was not there. Now you could make the argument that what I said before is not true, in the sense that maybe the Kohen can still function as a Kohen without the Pesel. Meaning he still could have been a religious figure, maybe. But if you want to go with the approach of the Radak that we explained before, so maybe it can all fit together. Meaning the time period of the Mishkan ending in Shiloh, when the Mishkan ends in Shiloh, so the Plishtim only had the Aron for a certain amount of months. Then the Aron comes back. The Aron comes back soon after Shmuel leads the people to victory against the Plishtim, and that eventually ushers in the time period of Shaul HaMelech and David HaMelech. It almost could be the kind of the pasuk, even though it's in the negative sense, but telling us until the days that the house of Hashem existed in Shiloh, that's when the Pesel Micha, together with the priest, was functioning. Because once you end Mishkan Shiloh, you usher in the time period of Shmuel and David and eventually Shlomo. So then there was no way for the Pesel to exist, and there was no way for the Kohanim to exist. So maybe you could put it together that way. The literal interpretation that Rashi said would have to separate the two. Because that's why maybe you get two end zones. Pasuk Lamed is saying it exists ad yom golos haaretz, and Pasuk Lamed Aleph is saying the Pesel existed kol yemei hayos beis Elokim b'shilah. Yeah.
In the meantime, though, was an entire innocent town just killed for no reason? Because it wasn't, if it's idol worshippers, it's not really conquering the land of Hashem.
So the town of Laish, that town, it seems this was not appropriate, and the way that went about it, and the fact that as you were just saying, Eretz Yisrael was meant to be conquered so that Jews could live as Jews, not the Jews could live as idol worshippers. You know, we kind of circle back to one of our original questions from today is, you know, like. It like boggles the mind. Why did Hashem allow them to succeed? It seems like the bad guys are winning. They won the game and they lost the battle. They won the battle and lost the war. In the sense that the spiritual state of the people You know, and that's really right. The parak concludes. That's the end of the story of Pesel Micha. Like curtains close. What? That's the end of this story about the Avodah Zarah of Micha. And you know, it's like you're asking. You know, you take a step back and you look at parak Yud Zayin and Yud Ches, and you ask yourself, why are these prakim here? What was the function of these prakim? So the function seems to be to speak about the spiritual state of the people. That you have Jews fighting over Avodah Zarah. That's basically what it is. You have Jews creating Avodah Zarah and Jews fighting over Avodah Zarah. And it just highlights the state of the people either before the whole, either it happened at the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, and this story is meant to kind of color the entire time period. Or it happens towards the end. Either way, it's supposed to usher in why there's a need for Sefer Shmuel, why there's a need for a righteous king, you know, to bring the people to a proper. So these two prakim represent kind of the spiritual downturn, and that the Perek Yates and Chaf are going to deal with spiritual but also interpersonal. Interpersonal lacking, you know, in the nation that seems to be the seeds of what's wrong, and then obviously what needs to be repaired. So, Be'ez Hashem, next time we will continue with Sefer Shoftim, Perek Yud Tes. God willing.